And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Hello! I am Sasha Kaplan, who is in a little bit of a woo-woo land right now, but that is not Loki-induced. But enough about my problems, let's delve into the king of crazy, the awkward nerd of mischief, the frustrating old man, and an alligator as we delve into this episode of Loki.
Don't talk bad about the gator, bro.
I didn't say anything bad about the gator. The Loki bashing, we'll get into that in a second, but it's not about the gator. All right.
If anything, the gator did the coolest thing.
So hilariously and poorly done, this episode is titled Journey into Mystery, which is it's several comic references in one. Journey into Mystery was also a comic that was released in 2013-ish, written by Kyron Gillen, I think.
So the title of the episode comes from the comic book series Journey into Mystery. Loki made his first appearance in issue 85 of October 1962.
Yeah, which is why it's a double reference. It's a reference to the original Journey into Mystery, but it's also a reference to the other Journey into Mystery.
They do mention that, but they also say that the original version of the series was then renamed The Mighty Thor at issue 126.
All right, so we are not here to talk about the Mighty Thor, except for one reference, but we're going to talk about it, that this is our penultimate episode. We're almost done with the season. Next week is the last episode of Loki.
And then we get What If.
The season finale of Loki.
And then we get What If.
And today, as on the date of our recording of this, which is Thursday, July 8th, the full-length What If trailer dropped. And it's okay. I mean, the animation looks good. It's very like hyper-realistic. It looks like they sort of threw darts at a board. Like, what if T'Challa was Star-Lord? And you know, what if Peggy became, like, little things. But hopefully we'll get a little bit more kind of what we would consider what ifs.
And it does feature the comic book nerds consider and it ifs. Does feature the last appearance of Chadwick Boseman.
Yes, and this is the last appearance of Chadwick Boseman, who voiced the character he played previously, the Black Panther, aka T'Challa, in What If. Although he won't be Black Panther here, at least in the one episode. So we don't know how many episodes he'll be in.
Understanding, he's just in the one.
That's sad. But alas, it is what it is. But we'll talk a little bit more about sort of updates and news at the end. All right, so this, like I said, this is our penultimate episode. Loki's over next week. I can English, guys. It's only my second language. Let me have this. We open on the TVA, and we sort of see the gold elevator, and it sort of twists inside, and we're back in the Keeper's room. It's actually a really nice shot of the transition. So they still want avoid Keeper's room and then sort of to a destroyed variant New York looking place. It could literally be any generic city, really. There is a demonic looking dragon skeleton dog thing in the sky. Fog, it's kind of foggy. But meanwhile, we find that, you know, Loki's meeting with the Lokis. We also find Ravonna and Sylvie are talking. They're back in the TVA. And Ravonna sort of plays the clueless girl, like, oh, I want to team up and I want to find out what's going on just as much as you do, which she does. But we find out later she wants to do it on her own terms and not necessarily on the way Sylvie does it. But they sort of team up for like 2.0 seconds.
I like how you put in that zero.
I was going to say like 2.9 seconds, but then I was like, eh. So Ravonna tells Sylvie that people who get, what's the term they use? Like pruned, don't actually die. They get sent to sort of the end of time because it's still being written. And it's
they're
sort of
sent
like
to the void.
They're sent into a dump site where they're basically going to get eaten by this weird fog thing. But she wants to know what's going on because the timekeepers are fake. And they keep trying to find records from the beginning of time to see who actually, I can't imagine they're the first people that like actually bothered to get records from the beginning of time to find out who's like the history of it. But I guess when you read the TVA propaganda, you learn not to ask questions. So we find out that Loki wants explanations, and we find out that this weird devourer dog hybrid thing is called the Alioth. Alioth. I think they call it.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's Alioth.
And basically, it devours things. We find out. So they take Loki to their bunker, and we find out a little bit about each of the Lokis. Kid Loki deviated from the timeline by killing Thor. So, from what I understand, the original Kid Loki was actually kind of like a happy-go-lucky kid in the comics, like the OG. And he was trying to do good things, and people can correct me because I don't give two shits about Loki. Never have, never will. But he was just this kid who was a Loki, and he was trying to do good things and like be better than his adult self. But then the adult Loki shows up and kills Kid Loki and takes out Kid Loki's identity and drives a kid to commit suicide. Yay! That's what we want in a Young Avengers movie. And yeah, this is just a reminder to all Young Avengers fans wanting Kid Loki in the MCU's Young Avengers. He literally drove a kid to suicide. He's the bad guy in the entire comic. Like, I don't want that. Keep him out of it. All right, back to the Loki show. So Miss Minutes says that there's like a void spacecraft, but it turns out that that's not a thing. Ravonna is just basically stalling until the TVA backup arrives. And then Sylvie prunes herself instead of giving in to Ravonna. I think Ravonna's just cranky because Sylvie keeps getting away. So we meet also Kirby Loki. I know he's credited as Classic Loki, but I like calling him Kirby Loki more. So Kirby Loki used Matt. He's more of the magic user. And so when Loki asks what his Nexus event was, Kirby Loki explains that he cast an illusion because knives are stupid and disappears, making it seem like Thanos had killed the real Loki when he didn't. And so Kirby Loki ends up going to a planet and just like chilling away from the timeline. But the second he stepped off that path and was gonna like reunite with Thor and like make some friends, the TVA showed up and pruned him. That's kind of sad. He had like a really lonely life. I just want to know where he got that outfit from. Because going from like what Loki wore in Ragnarok to what Kirby Loki was wearing is just sad. But I know it is the classic like 1960s original Loki outfit. And the actor who plays this version of Loki does such an amazing job that it's just like, it's really funny, but also really sad. But they do sort of repeat the fact that Loki survive or persevere or whatever.
No, it survive.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So Loki, they say that Loki, something about Loki being the god of outcasts instead of the god of mischief, but basically the MCU Loki, that's what we're gonna call him, Loki Prime, Avengers Loki, is like, oh, I'm gonna kill this beast. And they all just kind of laughed because he's a moron. Sylvie lands in the land after time. Huh?
She lands in a school bus.
In the land after time. That's what I'm gonna call it. The land after time. You know, you had the land before time, the land after time.
Don't you hurt my childhood like this.
Anyway, so she gets out just in time, and there's a car that comes to pick her up, and it's Mobius! And
not just any car, a pizza delivery car.
Yeah, it's a pizza delivery car. So there's like several other Easter eggs that I'm sure Michael will tell us about towards the end, as he always does. But so Loki and Sylvie sort of bond, which I think it's sort of awkward bonding, like, you killed my entire timeline. Sorry about that. I was brainwashed by the TVA, but you're kind of evil. We're not going to be friends. No, we're not. All right, then. Let's go find Loki. and it's actually kind of a nice scene because Mobius acknowledges that he thought he was doing the right thing. He just didn't know that he was, you know, they're brainwashed. TV agents are all brainwashed robots. That's the Miss Minutes is the one really pulling the strings here, people. So there's the muscular Loki.
Boastful Loki. Boastful Loki.
Oh yeah, the lying Loki, boastful Loki. Apparently betrayed all of them to and made a deal with President Loki, which, like, how dumb do you have to be to think Loki is gonna let a different Loki be in charge of anything? Like, he really should have seen that double cross coming. Gator Loki does not appreciate betrayals, though.
Yeah, Gator Loki just comes up.
Your crocodile, though.
It's an alligator. They actually So alligator Loki actually, and it's vote Loki. That's actually what it's referred to as. Alligator Loki just says, you know, the hell with this shit, and then bites vote Loki's hand off. And then all chaos ensues, and we have a Loki battle royal.
Also, something that is really fun that I did notice is in the scene when they're going into the bunker, we sort of flash to the outside of the bunker as they're being lowered, and we see Frog Thor. The poor thing is just stuck in a jar.
And he's trying to reach for Mjolnir.
Somebody free Frog Thor! Hashtag free Frog Thor.
Or as it's known as Thorg.
Throg makes more sense to me, Thorg, Throg, whatever. Free Frog Thor.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. It is Throg. So there you go.
I was right about something.
Occasionally.
I have my moments. Anyway.
Hey, that's my line, young lady.
Anywho, Kirby Loki is pretty cool. I just have it says good Kirby Loki. I like that. So everybody reunites, and there's still this like awkward, like, I don't know how to really characterize the relationship between Loki Prime here and Sylvie, because part of me doesn't really want it to be romantic, but at the same time, like, Tom Hiddleston is such a fantastic actor that he has chemistry with everybody. So I don't know, because it's kind of weird, because like she's a different version of him as far as we know so far. We're given no indications that she's not, you know, just kind of like a female version of him. So.
Yep.
Food for thought there. So Sylvie postulates and is obviously right, because she's the smartest Loki, that the monster is protecting something or someone who is responsible for the timeline. So she actually hatches a plan, which is like, we need to, because she has a moment with the Aliath, about the, so she sort of knows that he's guarding something. So they hatch this plan, and there's a really nice bonding thing between the two of them. Meanwhile, Ravonna comes to see B-15, and B-15 is basically done drinking the Kool-Aid, but she says that she does tell Ravonna that Sylvie's looking for, you know, the time keepers or the creators. Ravonna wants that too, but to a different end, because Ravonna wants to know, but B-15 tells her that Sylvie needs it. For Sylvie, this is about revenge or to try to get her timeline back. We don't really know her exact motivation, but Ravonna decides that now she wants to protect the creator. Sylvie wants, and she deserves a new outfit. Loki has had significantly more costume changes, so she deserves one too. But anyway, basically Mobius is gonna go back to the TVA, if I remember correctly. And because Sylvie has the Palm Pilot time pad thing, so she gives it to Mobius, and Mobius is gonna cause some chaos to the TVA. And then the Loki and Sylvie are going to get past the monster and go face off against the creator. But Smokey McSmokey Boy doesn't want to let them through. So classic Kirby Loki conjures a vision of Asgard that motivates the monsters to go at it. And Loki and Sylvie are then able to enchant the mind of Aliath in order to clear the smoke. And as the smoke clears, we see this really weird looking castle that looks kind of like the Lego castle.
But before we get to that point, unfortunately, Kirby Loki does die.
Kirby Loki does die. He sacrifices himself for the sake, for the other Lokis. And that's where the episode ends. The last shot we see is the opening of the is the castle, and they're like, oh, we're going to go in now.
Well, they start walking towards it. They're not actually physically at the castle yet. So
Michael and I were texting, and the first thing he tells me after he watched the episode is, I'm really disappointed there is no after credit scene. And I agree.
You would think that with this being the last episode before your finale, you would get like a mid-credit or end-credit scene to really tee up what is going to happen in the finale. Because like, we got that mid-credit scene that introduced us to the other Loki variants.
Didn't really have that much of a part to play, but yes.
Well, it did and it didn't. It did have
a part. It did and didn't, you're right.
It did have a part to play because, yeah, sure, it's Loki. It shows that Loki was still alive. So it let us know that Loki was still alive. But then it also introduced these characters, which we're going to go, okay, that's important for the next episode. So it's like, it was important knowing about the status of Loki at that time, introducing some people, but at the same time, they could have also held that off a little bit going into the next episode. You could have left some of that intrigue going, ooh, wonder what's happening to Loki. Because like when Mobius uses the temp pad to go back to the TVA, they could easily have used that as an end credit scene of him arriving at the TVA. Like you could have done something to, don't tease what Sylvie and Loki are doing, because how they left it in the episode was perfect. That's how you should have left it. But maybe show us Mobius, or maybe go back to Kid Loki and Alligator Loki and kind of go get an idea of what they're maybe thinking at this point.
To be honest, I would be very much happy if I never have to see a Kid Loki again. But that being said, I agree with you. They could have done something. They could have hinted a little bit more about Mobius and what his plan to go back to the TVA entails. What is he going to do there? Right? There's like the reunion he had with Loki's nice, but like, okay, they rescued him, he's gone back, and then the other Lokis didn't want to go because like, this is our home or whatever. And I'm like, okay, fine, you've been here for probably years, makes sense. But it sort of feels like they're a little bit, it feels weird not to have some kind of hint at the next episode in the penultimate episode.
Yeah. And that's why it's like, you know, it and normally we want something spectacular to make us really get antsy and go, ooh, I can't wait. But it's like not having it's weird because with WandaVision and with Falcon Winter Soldier, we got end credit scenes or mid credit scenes on their second to last episodes. And this one didn't. And it's a throw off. Unless and the only reason I could think of as to why they didn't do it, and I'm going to look at it right now because I'm on IMDb, like the good Michael that I am, as Sasha starts laughing hysterically.
Always.
It doesn't say how long the episode is. So the only thing that I could...
Standard 50-something minutes.
And it could be the standard 50-something minutes, but they might do something a little bigger just because, you know, it's the last episode of the season. So,
well, I'll believe it when I see it. I think whatever's going to happen will most likely focus on Sylvie and Loki and less on Mobius. I don't know how many episodes Owen Wilson is doing.
He's in every episode for this season.
Then maybe somehow the two will connect, and maybe Mobius will stop Ravonna from warning the non-existent Keeper, or maybe he's the one that discovers the identity of this time creator person. Which there seems to be kind of two possibilities. Either this is another Loki, Or it's some version of Kang the Conqueror.
Or, as a lot of people are thinking, maybe Miss Minutes.
I don't know. It feels kind of like, I mean, it would be hilarious if Miss Minutes ends up being the bad guy, but like, it can't just be Miss Minutes.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, Ravonne
definitely knows who's the boss. But like, who is Miss Minutes? Because Miss Minutes is basically a propaganda caricature. She didn't come into existence on her own.
Yeah, and not only that, but like, we know that Ravonna is the baddie of the season, but there's somebody even badder beyond her. So,
and if I remember correctly, and it's been a while, but Ravonna is also the name of the Kang's love interest. Or like his like number two or whatever. It's been a minute, but that's what I remember. So I don't know. Also, like, Ravonna as a bad guy, I think, is a little weak in the sense that like we don't really find out anything about her. She's just sort of the one of the judges of the TVA, and she sort of worked her way up the ranks to be the judge and be, you know, pretty high up in the TVA, but like, and she's definitely drunk the Kool-Aid, but there's nothing in her that makes me like, the actress playing her is brilliant and I really like her, but it just feels like there's a lot missing. Like, I can't be bothered to care.
Yeah. So we all agree that Alligator Loki's awesome.
Okay.
I actually, when I was watching the episode, when I watch these episodes, I think about how I'm going to name the episode, like our recording, the episode of Nerdy Notions. I was going to call it the War of the Lokis because of the Battle Royal, but then the Battle Royal was only like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, crap, that's not going to work.
They put into that scene in the trailer. I was like, this scene is going to be so irrelevant. And I was right.
Yeah. I was like, damn. So I'm like, I'm coming up with a name eventually. So Sasha and I will come up with it after the episode.
Michael will come up with a name. Sasha will just be here suffering.
While I think out loud. But
yeah, so there's a lot that is still sort of left up in the air. And to be honest, this is, I think, one of the frustrating parts of this show compared to the other ones. Whereas like with the other ones, you knew exactly, more or less, to an extent, of where the show was heading, or at least the direction it was going, right?
Because they're also one-offs.
Right, because we knew that, even then, if you have a season with a planned arc, you sort of know where the story's going, right? Here, we don't really, like, we knew that at the end of the penultimate episode of WandaVision, there was going to be a big fight between Wanda and Vision. We knew we were going to meet White Vision. We knew sort of what was about to happen. Right? With Falcon and Winter Soldier, we knew that Sam was going to be Captain America. We knew that Sam was gearing up for another confrontation with Carly. We knew, you know, we sort of had a direction of what was coming. And here we have no idea, because this whole thing with the timekeepers, We didn't really, I mean, we sort of gotten hints that they're sort of not who they seem because no one ever really sees them. But beyond that, we just know that they're robots. And like, at this point, I'm inclined to believe it's some version of Kang the Conqueror and Loki sets off a chain reaction that leads to a different Kang showing up, or a different version of Kang, because Kang is technically a man out of time. He exists in all timelines and none at the same time or something. Like, I can see it being him, and then a different version of him shows up in Quantumania, and then ultimately in Young Avengers. So maybe that's where it's going, but it's just like, it feels a little less thought out than the other shows.
Yeah. So notes on episode.
I'm just not going to dignify that with a response.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, that's my comment will sit in a void, people. Let me know what you think if
it,
you ever...
It got pruned. No, I mean, It's interesting because it's like maybe the fact that it that we know for a fact that this show is getting a season two, they actually have more of a long game, which is why it feels like it doesn't have a direction right now, because we know that there will be a season two for this show. Whereas like, again, WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier, limited series, one-off runs.
Oh, but even like, look at like shows that are meant to be multiple seasons. Look at Grimm, look at Veronica Mars, even look at the CW shows, right? They build something up over the course of several episodes with some filler episodes. Here, you don't really have time for filler episodes because you're doing a 6-episode arc, right? And if the event, so then the other option is that this season ends on a cliffhanger that doesn't really resolve anything or hint at any future projects.
Yeah.
To an extent doesn't.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're definitely going to have a very interesting season finale next week.
Here's hoping. I won't be disappointed.
And then she was disappointed.
I mean, I can't really be disappointed in a show about a character I really don't like or care about. And in all fairness, you know, I gave Loki a fair chance. I'm judging the show without thinking about how much I hate Loki. Except Kid Loki, but that's separate because he's not really a character on the show.
Kick that kid to the curb.
I hope my bias against Loki isn't influencing me. And I've had a lot of really good praise on the show. Like the cinematography in this season specifically, like in WandaVision, we talked a lot about how they filmed in different styles and how well that looked and the way that they shot things was really cool. Here, they're really utilizing a lot of techniques. Like in the filler episode, episode 3, they had that really long tracking shot and that was really well done. In this episode, they had that transforming door into the timekeeper's room, into the new the land after time, right? That was really cool. So there's some really excellent cinematography going on with the show. The writing is a little bit of polish. Just a little one, sir. But yes, please tell us your notes that you're reading from IMDb.
I'm going to go back to our original note at the very beginning about the title of the show. I already mentioned that it's based off the comic book series Journey into Mystery, and that Loki made his first appearance in October 1962 in issue 85. And then that was renamed The Mighty Thor at issue 126. The original title was actually revived for various purposes, such as a horror anthology in the 1970s, and various spinoff titles feature characters from the Thor series in the 1990s and 2000s. So you had it come back in different iterations after it was renamed Mighty Thor. Just before Loki and the four variants enter the underground vault, there's a small helicopter with Thanos written on it. It perfectly resembles the helicopter Thanos piloted in Spidey Super Stories, issue 39, which was published in March 1979. It was a simplified comic book adaptation of the Spider-Man spots on the Electric Company from 1971. Talk about old school. Kid Loki is seen drinking a carton of Hi-C Ecto Cooler, a soft drink that was sold in promotion of Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters in 1988, and also was re-released when they did the all-female cast of Ghostbusters.
That's so exciting, because the female Ghostbusters movie is just so memorable.
Except for the fact that Hi-C Ecto Cooler is freaking amazing. And you damn well know that as soon as I found some, I bought a couple packs. Because nerd. So did our good friend Brian. I know he bought some of those as well. But you're like, yeah, nerds. After tilting, twisting camera shot that ends with the severed timekeeper's head, we then enter the void. The first structure we fly by is the Lighthouse of Alexandria, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was destroyed by an earthquake.
That looks familiar.
It was destroyed by an earthquake in 1480. So yeah, there you go. The USS Eldridge makes an appearance in the void, a ship made famous by UFO myths surrounding the Philadelphia experiment, during which it supposedly traveled through time and or other dimensions. That was the battleship that landed, that was attacking Eitlif, or however you say its name. Many more Loki.
We will never pronounce this name correctly. Just warning you now.
Yeah. Many more Loki variants are briefly introduced. Two worthy of recognition are Vote Loki, the leader of the pack, who is an exact copy of the Loki from the comic series of the same name, and Loki variant L8914 has horns and sunglasses, who is seen as a hologram in episode 2.
I remember that vaguely.
Several Marvel Easter eggs can be spotted around the void, such include Yellow Jacket's head, the Thanos copter, Throg, TVA food trays, the Dark Aster, a helicarrier, a statue head of the Living Tribunal, and Kang's Citadel.
You forgot one.
I've just listed all the
Did
ones.
They talk that were... about Avengers Tower that's not named Avengers Tower.
It wasn't listed in what
I had here. So if I remember correctly, and I don't have this things in front of me like Michael does, the tower that we see is very clearly a replica of Stark Tower, right? From the first Avengers movie. However, it doesn't actually say Stark or Avengers on it. It has a different name, which I think ties to a company that was owned by a guy who is an alias for Kang the Conqueror. Because Kang is coming, and I guess Yellow Jacket
well,
is coming.
Well, I think that's why they labeled it as Kang's Citadel.
Oh, that might be why.
Yeah. The pizza truck's license plate is GRNW1D. This refers to Mark Gruenwald, who is a co-creator of the Eliath and the physical basis of the character Mobius. And then these are the spoiler notes. In the background behind Horned Loki, in the Loki lair, is the arcade game Polybius. Polybius is seen as an urban legend that emerged in early 2000 concerning a fictitious 1980s arcade game. The legend describes the game as a part of a government-run crowdsourced psychology experiment based in Portland, Oregon during 1981. Gameplay supposedly produced intense psychoactive and addictive effects in the player. The frog version of Thor, also known as Throg, is briefly seen when the variants descend into their hideout. He is trapped in a jar labeled T365, a reference to the issue of Thor in which the frog version first appeared and trying to reach Mjolnir, which is buried next to him but out of his reach. Debuting in the Avengers Terminatrix Objective Number 1 comic, Eliath is a large purple gaseous cloud similar to his depiction in this episode. Unbound by time, who controlled a temporal empire triple the size of its rival, Kang the Conqueror.
The Kang!
Yep.
The Kang! Like, do you remember the last Lego Avengers game?
Vaguely. I haven't played Lego Avengers since PS3, to be honest.
Anyway, they're in the Lego Avengers. I think it's Avengers. It's the second one that had all the like unique characters. But basically, Kang the Conqueror like steals a whole bunch of cities. So you have like and he calls it the Chronopolis. And there's all these like the Kang cycles and the Kang monorail. And it's just like, it's so funny because it's reminding me of that, like all the Kang references. In case you forgot, Kang the Conqueror is coming, and we're like, yeah, we know. Like, is he showing up here, or do we have to wait till Quantumania? So just like, yeah. Come on, just tell us, and let's get this over with.
Last note: the wrecked helicarrier seen in this episode has a Hydra logo. It could be from a branch where their plans in Winter Soldier were successful.
I don't believe a variant timeline can exist like that, but okay.
So that's it for the notes there. I do also want to throw this little nugget out there. Since Disney Plus bought Fox, they own The Simpsons. And part of the deal with The Simpsons is that The Simpsons now does occasional shorts with Disney properties. The first one was titled The Force Awakens from Its Nap, which is a mini episode that features Marge Simpson leaving pacifier-obsessive Maggie at a Star Wars daycare of sorts, where characters such as Lando Calrissian, General Grievous, Android BB-8, and Jedi Warrior Ahsoka Tano oversee the infants. I bring this up because this past week, they came out with another one which is the second one of the shorts, which is called The Good, The Bart, and The Loki.
And The Loki.
And it's actually very interesting because Al Jean, who is a showrunner for The Simpsons for a very long time, he actually did an interview and he actually revealed that there was originally going to be a Stan Lee cameo because Stan Lee had actually done a past episode of The Simpsons and they actually had audio archive that they could have used for Stan. However, as we all
Marvel
know,
said no.
And here's why.
It's annoying and we're done and we just need to be done with Stan Lee.
After Marvel's Avengers Endgame, which marked the last cameo that Stan Lee made, they actually used that as a way to retire Stan Lee as a whole. They made a rule that says because Stan Lee is not alive, that he is not allowed to cameo in anything. And I know for you, woo-hoo! That makes you happy, but for a lot of people, it does make people sad because people do love Stan Lee.
Woo-hoo! Get over it and read the real history.
But you see why. But you get what I'm saying, though. It's like people would have liked to see.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over my happiness that we can finally retire the cult of Stan Lee.
I'm just saying, I like the idea that Deadpool takes over for Stan Lee and the cameos. I'm okay.
No, 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 uh-uh. No, 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 no.
Speaking of Deadpool,
very easy to do is get this. Okay, ready? You get the creator of the thing you're basing it off on, or what the creator of one of the characters to cameo, right? It's been done before. Jim Starlin cameoed in Endgame, right? Ed Brubaker, who wrote the Winter Soldier comic, actually had a cameo in Winter Soldier. Like, it's doable.
Yeah. But speaking about bringing up Deadpool, because that was a segue for a reason.
Screw Deadpool. All right, continue.
There is rumor now because of Instagram posts that one particular Australian actor has made.
No. No. That, no. That, no.
That huge. Now, first and foremost, this is just possibly a massive tease and it may not actually happen. Just throwing that out there. But Hugh Jackman is teasing the possibility that he is going to come to the MCU play Wolverine, which can be done because of what is going to happen with Doctor Strange 2, with all the multiverse stuff. So we kind of know that like this can happen. Hugh Jackman.
Just because something can does not mean it should. Or
but hold on, calm down, dear Sasha. It should be noted that Hugh Jackman actually did note that if X-Men were to ever come to the MCU, that he would be willing to do at least one movie as Wolverine. However, let me finish. Something to keep in mind. Right now, we actually have the confirmation that Fantastic Four is going to happen.
Yes.
That we do know is confirmed. When it's going to come out, we don't know. Is it going to be part of Phase 4 or is it going to be part of Phase 5? That's another story for another day, because they haven't even announced a casting for it yet. The thing that should be noted is that it has been made known that it's going to be a while before there is actually an X-Men movie. There is plans to integrate the mutants into the MCU somehow that will eventually lead into an X-Men movie, but it's a few years away from actually getting an X-Men movie. So the odds of Hugh Jackman actually really being able to be a full-time Wolverine in the MCU doesn't really look possible. Could he cameo as a version of Wolverine because of the multiverse stuff? Yes. Would that suffice for us just saying, hey, we got him in the MCU via cameo? That could work. So it could be something more along that line rather than more of a full-time appearance in the MCU as the full-time Wolverine, where it is most likely going to be somebody else and somebody who is younger. So
you
it's
know
like,
what my answer to all of that is?
You don't want him in there anyways. It's
no!
Okay.
No! Let it go!
But you see where my logic comes into play, yes, where it makes it more realistic.
I get your logic, but
I make it more realistic.
Kirby, let Wolverine die. And let Hugh Jack, like, No, I'm sorry. I had to deal with how many Wolverine related or partially movies or movies where Wolverine was just sort of shoved in as a cameo for the sake of somebody else's hard on for Wolverine, if you'll pardon my French.
No. Let's see here.
I want a break from Wolverine. I want one X-Men movie.
You have at least 11
several
movies.
Several X-Men movies where there is no Wolverine. He does not exist.
Yet.
Ever. Like, honestly, it's like the most overrated X-Men character ever after Charles Xavier.
But let's be honest here. You know, like, you go on the Disney Plus and you watch X-Men the Animated Series, you're going to get Wolverine, you're going to get Jean Grey, you're going to get Cyclops, you're going to get Professor X, you're going to get Gambit, yeah, and all of them. Those are the ones that we're going to get.
Not necessarily. First of all, because Marvel has highlighted a lot of lesser known properties and characters, and they've been very good with that. Number one. Number two, we know there are rumors of a project titled The Mutants, whatever that is. It, based on the art, which I don't know if it's official, it looks like it's a New Mutants hinting. So Michael and I have not seen the initial New Mutants movie yet, so we'll get on that eventually. That's two. Three, yes, X-Men the Animated Series. And then X-Men Evolution focused on the same characters, Jean and Scott and Wolverine and Storm and Rogue to a lesser extent, right? But we've already gotten a franchise with these characters. We've gotten technically two franchises with these exact same characters. It's the same reason why I don't want another Charles versus Magneto run through. We've seen it done and badly. Like, it's time to do something new and something different. Have a kitty-focused story, right? You shoved her to the sideline in her own freaking story. Well, Fox did that, but still. Like, make her the focus for a change. Make Nightcrawler the focus, right? Give it to a character. If you're going to have an ensemble show, fine. Have an ensemble show, right? Do the 1970s X-Men. Bring in Colossus, Storm, and Nightcrawler, right? Do that. That would be cool. That would be different, right? Bring in Bobby Drake again.
I mean, but here's the thing. It's going to be a while.
Out. I'm just saying, like, focusing on the exact same characters whose origin stories have been done to death is enough. It's one of the faults, but to sort of counter my own point here, the Spider-Man reboot, which was the third reboot of a second reboot, technically, of Spider-Man property, but the third iteration of a Spider-Man content, right? They were so focused on doing something new that they sort of forgot that, like, you can mention Uncle Ben, it's okay, right? So I'm not saying they have to completely disregard everything that was done before, but they need to do something new and different. And I think the thing to really re-entice people is to do something different.
Yeah.
And Charles Xavier, do this, adapt the comic where Magneto becomes the head of the school for a change, right? But, like, do something different.
But also at the same time, and it's like I said, an X-Men movie is a ways away. Like, they haven't actually officially announced that an X-Men movie is going to happen, number one. They don't have a date for it. We're still waiting to hear on Fantastic Four, which is going to come first because they've already announced that it's happening. But, like,
I wonder if Fantastic Four will either be the last movie of Phase 4 or the first movie in Phase 5.
Something tells me because it's Fantastic Four, they'll probably use it as the way to end Phase 4.
It'll be something like that, just because... Just, Marvel, do me a favor. Just do me a favor.
Because
just
keep in Doctor Doom. Because keep in mind, there are actually Phase 4 dates that don't have titles to them yet.
Are you sure there's still that's still a thing?
I thought they were because they I think they actually have one or two dates that still don't have titles to them yet.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, maybe,
like,
they'll reveal it at San Diego.
Because that's the thing. They revealed, like, the date for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and a couple other properties, but they didn't reveal all of them. Because because part of the tease at the end was Fantastic Four with the four going around the Avengers logo or the Marvel logo.
So. Yeah, so then maybe they'll do something for San Diego, which is coming up. Even though it's virtual, they'll still likely announce something.
Well, also keep in mind that San Diego is planning to do a physical convention on Thanksgiving weekend. So we might, if they don't announce something this summer, which I actually is believed later this month, we could hear something come November around Thanksgiving when they do the physical convention, which, ironically, every celebrity is pretty much giving the middle finger to San Diego Comic-Con because they're like, you know what? This is the first time we can do a holiday with family. We don't want to be doing a convention.
Who thought having a convention on Thanksgiving would be a good idea?
They do. But
anywho.
So that's really all I got on my end for notes and stuff. I wanted to bring up the Loki Simpsons bit because it brought up a really interesting thing. It brought up confirmation that Stan Lee is officially retired in regards to cameos, which I know you're happy about, but I enjoy his cameos.
I don't have a problem with his cameos. It's just like, it's more, it's not so much the cameos themselves I have a problem with. It's the legacy they leave behind.
Yeah, but anyways, I guess that's the wrap up here. Oh, announcement. We have an announcement. So AwesomeCon, August 20th through 22nd in Washington, D.C. Come see us live. In person.
And by us, he means me, Michael, Ben, and Brian, because Voices from the Grid will be at AwesomeCon. And we will be talking all things, as we do, known as Power Rangers, because what else are four nerds going to do?
And before that, and here's the kicker, Ben and I are going to be on stage before that, doing Awesome Mania 9, the Pro Wrestling Fan Panel, also the longest running panel of AwesomeCon itself and the only panel to appear at every single AwesomeCon. That panel will start at 3:30 and go until 5 p.m., followed by the Voices from the Grid panel, which will begin at 5:15. But knowing that Ben and I are already going to be on stage, we're just going to have Sasha and Brian just hop up on stage and we'll just start 5 minutes after Awesome Mania is over and go right into the Power Rangers. And that will go until 6 p.m. Eastern time, and it'll be all in the same room. So if you're like wrestling, you like Power Rangers, you could just stay in the same room for us and just enjoy the show. Ben and I are going to be exhausted by the time we get to by the time we get to 6 p.m. though. Sasha's like, I don't care. I'm just doing the one panel, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's just me doing the one panel.
You might have a possibility of having a panel. It's waitlisted.
Anywho, point being that I'll be on the convention floor that day anyway. So if you're a fan of this podcast, if you're a fan of the show and you happen to see me, and you happen to know what I look like, come by, say hi. I'll definitely be in the room, before the event starts. I'm usually in the panel rooms about 10 minutes beforehand just to get the lay of the land, that kind of thing. But yeah, stop by, say hi. Always like talking to people.
Yep. And with that, you can find me on social media at the Michael, or Twitter at the Lindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75. And of course, everything's on the website at txhthockey.com and for the show specific, nerdy-notions. And of course, also at AwesomeCon, if you want to talk to me and tell me how horrible I am on this show, feel free to say to me, at least you know what I look like because you can tell by the pictures of me on my Twitter and Twitch. You see me live on Twitch. You know what I look like. I'm a very ugly person.
And you can find my pretty, adorable, and lovely self over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. That's Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. Over on Tumblr, that's geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I am the only VFTG member with an actual Tumblr account. So if you are a Tumblr user and you like this show or VFTG, please come by, say hi. And you can read my musings whenever they show up and my hands are not murdering me and killing me slowly and painfully over on geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com. Lots of things with the word geek in them, people. In case you didn't know, I'm just a nerd. So thank you so much for listening and join us as we rip apart, for good or ill, the final episode of Loki.